Hi, my name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to be moderating today's webinar on where to find the best candidate in today's job market. This is an interesting time to have this discussion as tax season approaches and collection agencies get ready to ramp up their efforts, but doing so in a labor pool that might be a little bit shallower than most years. We're fortunate to have a panel of hiring experts with us today who will share their tips and ideas with us. This webinar is being generously sponsored by Peak Revenue Learning. You'll get the chance to hear more from them a little later in our program. I want to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountsRecovery.net. AccountsRecovery.net is a news and information platform for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique and curated content, maintains a number of email newsletters, hosts webinars like this one, and offers a number of exciting podcasts for the ARM industry. The site is free for anyone in the industry to use and is a great resource of news and insights to help educate and inform. I hope you'll all spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. Let me tell you a little bit now about today's speakers. Barbara Finley joined CBE in July 2014, but began her career in recruiting in 2004 in the staffing and recruiting industry, specializing in high volume recruiting. As supervisor of recruiting for CBE, Barb leads the team of recruiters in the Texas and Iowa locations and is responsible for end-to-end recruiting and assuring a positive applicant experience. Barb works with many different advertising sources to creatively promote CBE with the focus of filling the applicant pipeline with qualified candidates. Barb majored in sociology at Texas Women's University in Denton, Texas. Courtney Fleming joined Wilbur Group in October 2010 and is currently the Chief Personnel Officer. She earned her undergraduate degree in risk management and financial services from Illinois Wesleyan University. Courtney assists the Wilbur team with recruiting efforts and developing training paths, as well as working to ensure proper compliance is met throughout the departments with role and process-specific audits. Courtney is a certified instructor for ACA International and leads teleseminars as well as face-to-face sessions pertaining to the collection industry. Through the association, she also holds the following designations: Professional Collection Specialist, Instructor Professional, and Credit Collection Compliance Officer and Professional, Credit Collection Compliance Officer Professional and Officer. Ryan Wiswall is the Vice President and third generation to lead Columbia Collectors, a collection agency in the Pacific Northwest with more than 60 years in the industry. Ryan came to join Columbia Collectors after his career in the Air Force. He was first hired on as a collector and has held positions as account executive and system administrator. With his current position as Vice President, he oversees five critical departments within the organization. He specializes in research and development, hiring key talent, developing company strategy, and benchmarking for the organization. When Ryan's not working, he spends his free time with his family. He's married to his wife, Ksenia, for 12 years, and they run a successful photography business on the side for the past 11 years. They have a beautiful four-year-old daughter named Mila. Ryan enjoys many Northwest activities, such as fishing, kayaking, swimming, and rock climbing. If you'd like to reach out to Ryan, you can reach him via email at ryan@columbiacollectors.com. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion moderated by myself. We encourage everybody to submit questions and we'll get to them when the discussion has concluded. To submit a question, please type it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded and a recording will be made available in the coming days on accountsrecovery.net. Finally, this discussion is an audio only discussion. So if you're not seeing anything on your screen, you're not missing anything. With that, let's launch into today's discussion. Ryan will give you the honor of the first question. Let's start with something fairly basic and build from there. What have you found to be the best source for finding new job candidates?
Sure. The current source I'm using is a familiar one to everybody, Indeed.com. I found the best pool of people coming from Indeed. I've tried other various resources, but recently we had posted for a collector position and surprisingly had about 103 applicants within a week and a half's time. So to me, there was no lull that I've seen for our current area for collectors specifically, but Indeed was our preferred source.
Yes, this is Courtney. I've also used Indeed too. And with Indeed, sometimes we will have a lot of candidates and sometimes they'll be in the area, sometimes they'll be moving to the area. So we found that that's also a really great site for us to find candidates too. Another site that we've actually kind of jumped into is we've started using Facebook, and by when I say using Facebook, I don't mean just having a posting on there with a link to our website, kind of talking about what our current openings are, but actually doing some passive recruiting. My passive recruiting, what I mean is on our Facebook, we do have where you can have the post with a link to our job site, but we also have some testimonials from our employees. We put on there what our office is currently doing. Kind of as people are coming to our website, to our Facebook, they're seeing also what our employees are doing. So that kind of attracts them too. And then the third point that we really enjoyed Facebook is you can make a Facebook event. We had a career fair and we only marketed it for one week. We put it up on Monday and we had the event on Facebook and our employees shared it. And there were individuals that posted they were interested. We saw counts on how many people were going to be actually coming. And then we ended up having a really great turnout. The town that we live in is about 120,000. And so of that large community, we had 93 individuals come to our job fair. So it was a very busy time for us. So that's kind of a different source that we've been using is really our own community and using Facebook in those various methods of putting up what postings that we have, talking about the passive recruiting, showing what we're currently doing. And then lastly, having an event that we can put up and have people say that they would come.
Yeah, I would like to elaborate on my answer just a little bit. You know, Indeed has kind of been our preferred method that we've used as of late, but given my background in the military along with other resources, we have found that some of our other job posts that we have put out to our local community, in particular the community colleges or some of the smaller state colleges, we would put out ads. And in our local area, we actually have a free resource where it will blast it out to multiple places. But I've used those with some success, as well as contacting like government entities as well, people exiting out of the military. If you have a local base that's Reserve Guard, any of those are actually great resources for highly trained individuals. And a lot of the military candidates now are pushing towards higher education. So often you'll find people who have an associate's degree or higher, which is always a plus as well.
At CBE, we found Indeed is probably our number one source as well, you know, just going along with what everyone else has said. We use Facebook a lot. I would say Indeed, employee referrals and Facebook are probably our biggest sources for new employees. We try to have a good company culture. So, you know, if you have happy employees, they are going to tell their friends and family and we'll get more referrals that way. And, you know, that ROI is probably the best that you can get. So we try to aim high for employee referrals, but, you know, far and away, Indeed is probably the best.
Yes, I loved what Barb said, talking about their employees being happy. We actually had a happy at work campaign where we had T-shirts made. We had we were walking in the parade in our local area. And so I think that's important to kind of show as far as what experience your employees currently have in order to attract candidates too.
Barbara and Courtney, I'd like to ask you a kind of follow-up question on this. Do you find that when you guys post ads or when you're putting out job posts that you curtail it based on the job itself? A good example would be a collector versus a salesman or a lead manager role. Do you post everything on Indeed or do you find that there's certain avenues depicting the job? As for instance, if you're hiring sales, do you hire that headhunter? Currently, we're still using Indeed for sales, and that's our preferred method, as well as collectors.
I can start off on that one. It does depend as far as with the particular skill set. There's some skill sets in our office that we will use the actual headhunter. We've also gone to temp agencies to try to find someone with that particular skill set. It's more of on our IT side. And when we talk about a team lead, we really push for the to internally promote so that mm-hmm. our leaders are people that we've had from us in our collections and our admin positions. We've had the most success on in Indeed. But if there's a particular skill set or a little bit more education needed for a particular role, we will use the headhunters or the temp agencies to find people in our community.
So we don't really use headhunters or other agencies. Almost all of the positions that we post, like on Indeed, are going to be entry-level positions. And most of like sales positions or managers, supervisors, we almost always promote from within. We feel like our employees have a diverse set of skills. And, you know, once they master, you know, collections or fraud or something like that, and we post the internal positions, we are almost always able to fill those internally. However, there are some, you know, IT positions that do require a very specific set of skills. And so sometimes we will post those externally. But, you know, part of our culture is promote within. You can get your foot in the door and then make a career out of it. So if you have specific skills, we can always find a place for you. So for the most part, we only post externally for the entry-level positions.
Yes, and what would you say is probably when you're externally posting for positions, your hardest title to fill? Would it be that IT role?
Yes.
Okay. I know for us right now, it's currently the account executives through the sales positions. We have a harder time filling those, and I've talked with you smaller agencies along the West Coast, and they've had the same response as well. I have had some great success with IT. One of the things that I did was I partnered up, and this has been about 5 years, with a local both college and technical institute, and I run internship programs for IT, and I'll bring on anywhere between one and three different IT interns from school. One of the resources I've been very lucky with is a technical school that has high school to college age students going. They're not completely certified, but with supervision, they go through their Microsoft certification, some of the things that we look for, but it gives a great resource for young candidates that potentially can be hired on, and if they do well, we do sometimes offer them jobs. So I would say the last three IT support technicians or help desk positions we've had been from that resource. So,
Ryan, do you have any concerns when you are doing those internships and going for those individuals where you're working to also develop them? What's your company stand as far as views of if they go somewhere else? Like, what if after 2 to 4 years of you developing them, having the internship, they've gotten some skills? I mean, are you worried about them taking their skills and going somewhere else?
So my approach to this is I don't generally worry too much. I know when you hire, say, somebody from the age of 18 to, you know, their mid-20s, their likelihood of seeking something different or better is high. That goes for other people as well, but I almost expect that I put an expiration date on some of those positions, maybe up to 2 years. One case that I had an excellent IT person that I had, that IT support position, and I turned into an assistant system admin, but he had left our organization after a year and a half and went to go work with Amazon. I found out that after 2.5 months, he went to go ask his supervisor for time off, and the supervisor goes, "Who are you again?" And he recognized right then and there that he was having a hard time connecting, and ultimately going to climb that corporate ladder when it comes to how fast Amazon has been growing. I was able to get him back. He stayed with me for another year, and then now is working on working with Columbia Sportswear and was hired on for their team. We have a great relationship, and I still maintain him on some projects as a consultant. But he, and this is the way I do it, he speaks highly of our organization, would be more than willing to recommend our office, and if I can keep building employees, even if they end up leaving to another organization, as long as that individual is out there almost being a representative of our organization and willing to refer things, I look at that as a positive thing. So.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, at this point, I just wanted to jump in and pause the discussion for just a quick minute. I'd like to invite Chris Frickman from Peak Revenue Learning to say a few words. Chris?
Hi, Chris.
Hello. Thank you, Mike. Hello, everyone. We are grateful, very grateful for the opportunity to sponsor today's webinar. Our company provides Knowledge Link. It's a web-based employee education and compliance training application to companies in the collection industry. Knowledge Link is used by our clients to simplify and lower the cost of training new and existing employees. Our clients are companies that want to build and maintain a high level of assurance their staff members have mastered and are maintaining their mastery of the knowledge expected of them when they're interacting with consumers. Knowledge Link automatically builds documentation of the compliance training efforts of the company for existing and prospective clients and for regulators. For those of you I don't know or haven't met, I have spent most of my career on your side of the desk. I've worked in the collection industry for more than 30 years, most of that time in executive management of a collection firm. Knowledge Link was created to address many of the shortcomings in training and compliance I saw as COO and CEO of my firm. Use Knowledge Link to implement an ongoing continuous training cycle, reinforcing the knowledge you expect staff members to have before it begins to fade from memory. Present collection, client, or company policies to your staff members during onboarding training or at ongoing recurring schedules where they have acknowledged they have read and understand those policies. You can present tests during training events to validate learning and on recurring schedules to certify staff knowledge in areas you wish, such as the FDCPA or HIPAA. Use Knowledge Link during training events to present videos, slideshows, followed and other items such as audio files to present questions to validate participation and learning. In summary, Knowledge Link will close knowledge gaps, promote accountability, lower the cost of training, document for prospective and existing clients, regulators, and auditors your company's proactive role in preventing compliance nonconformities. To find out more about us, please visit peakrevenuelearning.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. And on behalf of everybody participating today, let me thank you for supporting such an important educational endeavor for the ARM industry. Really appreciate that. Let's get back to our discussion. What I wanted to do maybe is something I probably should have done at the start. Ryan did this in a couple of minutes before we jumped on the webinar today, and I should have done that when we actually started it. And that's let's go around the around the panel and maybe sort of talk a little bit about the size of the agency and maybe sort of talk a little bit about what some of your short-term or long-term hiring plans are in terms of getting ready for tax season. Maybe, Barb, we can start with you.
Sure. So CBE, we have about 1,000 employees between Texas, Iowa, and the Philippines. And as far as our recruiting plan, we don't really do like peak hiring for tax season. We're pretty steady throughout the year, so we don't really ramp up or anything like that for CBE.
Got it. Okay. Thanks. Ryan?
Yeah, so we have anywhere between 16 and 20 employees. Like Barbara was saying, we are pretty consistent throughout a year, so we don't have a jump as far as hiring as well. As far as planning for the future, based on some of our strategies, we have three positions currently with where we're trying to find employees. Of those, one's IT, one is sales, and the other is for electric.
Awesome. Thank you. And Courtney?
Yes. So on our end, we do not have a plan as far as similar to what the other said, as far as ramping up and adding additional collectors. Our tactic is to actually to have trained collectors in the positions when tax time comes. It's really hard to gauge how successful a collector is during tax time as the phones are ringing, the people are calling in to post payments, and it's hard to judge if an individual is going to be able to stand on their own once we get out of tax season. So we have a certain number that we're looking for on our collection teams, but it's really a matter of we want to have trained collectors at that point so we can appropriately judge them as far as are they going to be successful in that particular role.
Got it. Excellent. Thank you. Really appreciate that. Wanted to go back to a couple of things that have been said so far and maybe sort of follow up and delve in a little bit. Ryan, you mentioned that when you posted your last ad on Indeed, there were, I think, 103 applicants that came in. Certainly a great number from a quantity perspective. Quality-wise, can you sort of talk a little bit about how many of those applicants actually were sort of maybe viable candidates?
Yeah, so going through those 103 applicants, Indeed has some options to filter out, as many of you know. I try to use some of those tools, but at the same time, I'll open things up based on the position to, you know, for instance, if they don't have an associate's degree and I'm recommending it on the ad, I'll go ahead and let that come through and I'll make an assessment based on their application and their resume that they submit. But out of all those 103 positions that were there, people that had submitted for their position, I would say probably 15 to 25 of those applicants are ones that I'll whittle down and actually call for interviews.
And is that number sort of fairly consistent with how many people you'd like to interview when you have a given position available?
Usually, my process is I'll do a interview over the phone. I like to hear what they sound like on the phone, especially because they're spending most of their time on it. I'll make my assessments through the phone interview, and then I'll whittle it down to between a half a dozen in-person interviews to maybe up to 8 to 10. Now, if we were hiring for 2 positions, 3 positions, I'd probably increase that number to get more of a better understanding of the candidates. But ultimately, when I'm whittling down who we're going to hire and we're only trying to fill one position, I at least try to get 3 people in for an interview, if not more.
Got it. Excellent. Courtney, going back to what you were talking about with the job fair that you held and used Facebook to promote, is that the first time you've done something like that, or is that something you've been doing for a while? And, you know, are you going to continue to do that again?
Yes, I think that it's important to think about other avenues to get yourself out in the community, but to also bring your community to you. We opened up a second location, and so the idea was to have a career fair, so individuals could come and see our new building. And it was such a success that we actually started talking about it, that we're going to do it twice per year. I have the opportunity to have individuals come to us, and they didn't have to put an application in. They can fill it out once they get here, as we had great success. In a span of 45 days of getting individuals through our interview process, our interview process is very similar to what Brian spoke about with a phone screen and interviews. We actually, in the 45 days, had 12 collectors start with us. Now, our turnover is usually about 10%. So maybe one or two of those will not make it out. But with them coming to us and having an interest in us and seeing the building, seeing where the cubicle area is, getting to meet some of our leadership staff, and then even having a like small talk session as they were waiting for their interviews, I really think that had a big impact on the number of quality candidates we were able to find. We did it on a back-to-back. So we had one for one weekend at our new location, and then we actually had one the following weekend at our old location. We had about a third of the number of people come to the second one, but quality-wise, I think we came out fairly on top. If we were in the 90s with the number of individuals who came, and we ended up with 12 quality candidates. So with such success that first time, we're actually looking to do it on a biannual basis. And not just saying we're going to only be looking for candidates then, but give the chance for the community to come in and kind of experience our office, and hopefully we can back up everything positive that they've heard from our employees and from our interactions with the community.
Excellent. Ryan, Barb, have either of you ever tried the job career fair route and had any success with it?
Yeah. So at CBE, we actually do about one, we call them open interview days or open houses per month. And those are far and away probably the easiest and quickest way to get a number of people in the door, interviewed, see if they're qualified for the job and a fit for the position, and just get them hired and ready to start work. So we use them very frequently, and we have a very high success rate with them.
Yeah, and I would say for our size of agency, the career fairs is something that would be really advantageous for us. I would be looking at something like that if we were in the area of 50 to 75 collectors plus, and we had multiple positions that we were looking to hire in a given quarter, or we forecasted substantial growth, I would be looking at hosting a career fair or partnering up with a local company as well that meets the same goals that we have. I know through our area, we have various resources from the educational institutions to military gatherings where they all host open career fairs, and that would be a good place to go post those. But for our size of agency, we really don't see that it's a need at this point. So.
Barb, is that something that you're promoting online, or is that something where you're just looking to get referrals from employees to get people to come to the open houses?
Sure. So we promote it on Facebook and Instagram. We also will post, we'll have an event on Indeed as well. And then probably maybe every other month we will do like a employee referral contest, where if employees refer someone and they're hired during our hiring event, they will be entered into a drawing for, say, $500. So we kind of hit it from all angles, you know, digital, employee referrals, Facebook, all of that.
Yeah. Well, one of the people in the audience are asking about LinkedIn. Do you guys ever use LinkedIn? I know we've used it a few times, and I've got a lot of bad submissions off of that. I have heard it's a good place to find very technical people as well, or from the professional community. But have you had much success with LinkedIn?
I'm not a fan of LinkedIn for our entry-level positions. I find that our entry-level candidates aren't really on LinkedIn as much as our professional positions.
Yes, I would agree with Barb that our professional positions we can we may put on there, but we don't put any of our entry level or our collections ones on there.
Yeah, I would agree with the same as well. Any of those entry levels, I really haven't ever hired directly from LinkedIn, but yet again, given our size, I think it's seldom that we find that we'd be making those types of posts. But, And when you guys post for certain positions, quality versus quantity, do you find some of the posts that you put out, especially when you're having the culture, your company image, brands, pay, those obviously dictate who's applying. Do you find that that makes a huge difference as far as who's coming in and submitting their resumes? As far as the pay goes, I know for us, what we use, we'll use ACA to benchmark where our pay is, along with some of the local surveys from like payscale.com, Indeed, so on and so forth. And we'll try to hit at least the median to plus 5% as far as the position. So.
Wow, that is very interesting, Ryan. We kind of, as far as posting the pay on our positions, we've kind of gone back and forth to putting what the hourly is, and just say hourly plus the commission. Mm-hmm. We've gone to a like range based on experience. And what we found to be the most successful for us is that we actually do a average. So we take with the average dealing with the base wage plus in the first 6 months, you know, what's the average commission our collector is going to make, and then put that into a hourly wage. And so we say in there, as far as have the opportunity to make up to X per hour, including base wage plus commissions. And sometimes that number, because we actually do update it, we don't keep it at the same number because those numbers fluctuate when we want to be honest in the first 6 months. But seeing that number can really spark people's interest. I find we get a lot more quality candidates when we include the average for the commissions in the per hour. But we make sure that we specify that number per hour is including the wage plus the commissions. And the quality of candidates is different. And when I mean quality, I mean experience in collections previously. So we've had collectors who are working at other agencies in our area who have been doing it for an extended time frame, who have never applied with us, are now applying with us. They're seeing the opportunity that our office can provide them on a monetary basis, and that piques their interest.
We do ours very much like Courtney said. We will give a range. We'll let them know up to how much they can earn, including their hourly rate and the bonus potential. We like to be as transparent as possible. We don't want to waste anybody's time, and we also want the best quality. So in our job ads, we try to be just as transparent as possible what the potential income would be.
Yeah, I found for some of our strategies that we've had to get a little bit more creative with attracting talent. And I guess when you post out a position, depending on what position that is, having people apply for that, you know, the collection industry as a whole doesn't have that attraction that, say, like a tech company like Apple would, you know. So you have to be a little more creative with how we post those positions. And we look at it as when somebody's looking at jobs, they're obviously going to land on our website. They're going to hit some of the social media posts, as well as looking at ratings online to look at the culture, what type of brand they have, what the mission is, and what they would really be a part of. And if we can post pay that's reasonable to our market area, and for us, Portland, Oregon has a high-paying market, so it's a little bit more competitive to, say, get an IT person in. So we try to benchmark those to where we can add maybe 5% on top of the average income. So we found that that's given us some pretty good success with attracting new talent. Of those that have been in the industry, they're usually going to apply because they have applicable knowledge. So those are a little bit easier as well.
In your offices, I know we've kind of talked about as far as finding candidates with our internal referrals. in our office with our admin staff, we're actually, well, we do it on an anonymous basis. We don't put names with the amount of the commissions, but we actually show our admin staff as far as the commissions that are made in our collections department. And we do this on like a alternating month basis, really just more of a discussion with them that if they're interested on getting into that particular role, you know, these are the actual commissions that are being made. And we've had really great success with that. And as I'm sitting here talking, I'm smiling because our support director the other day was just commenting how the collection department, we keep stealing her workers. And it was actually really positive. It's not that we are stealing people. It's that these individuals have a skill set that's going to do well in the collections department, that they have that interest, and we have assessments that they go through, but that the admin role is a lot easier to fill as opposed to finding a quality collector. So I would much rather have someone who's already in our office and want to have a chance at being a collector make that particular move. So I think that's something our office has kind of looked at too, is the people that we already have in other roles, could they be moved to a different department, or as they call it, a different seat on the bus?
With the larger agencies like you guys, how often are you finding that you're promoting with them? When you have you did a summarization of the year and you had, for this, I guess, analogy, 10 to 15 different collector positions, how many of those would be hired from within with your organizations?
In our last one, I had 12 new hires, and I had three that moved from within. Now, I would say the internal moves normally happen, I'd say about every three months. And I say every 3 months because we have that 10% turnover. So I have to backfill in our collections department for people we're losing, but we're also getting more admin people. And as we get more admin people, those individuals are then gaining interest. So sometimes our admin roles are a really great platform for them to get entry into our office, learn about what we do, and then springboard over to our collections department.
Yes. I found that we run a small program internally for both help with support, be that we are a smaller agency. Sometimes if somebody's out and they have a key role, it's harder for us to keep moving. With a larger staff, it's not as much of a problem. But we ran cross-training every year during a certain quarter, and that's actually helped out with moving jobs internally, because it not only helps support the roles of another position, say someone's posting and we have two or three different people trained and posting a few backups. If that position ever becomes available, they have a knowledge set where they could apply for that position and be able to have the training to get up and started the next day. So that's something that we're looking at, building out internal training and cross-training programs that would fit well for that internal promotion. But we also like seeing, I usually like to see new talent coming in, because having new staff members with an outside perspective for me is always a good thing to have, bringing some new ideas to the table. So, especially if we're hiring leadership staff, I like to see every once in a while somebody from the outside rather than internal to bring something new to the table. So.
Oh, yes, that is very, very true. We have internally promoted for most of our leadership positions. And 5 years, it's actually, these past 5 years have really flown by. We actually brought someone from the outside to be our collection manager. They had been an auditing manager at a different agency. And just like Ryan said, we wanted a fresh perspective, and he brought such great ideas, and he held the bar higher than what we currently were expecting of our workers. And he didn't hold the bar higher because he wanted to come in stomping everything. He held the bar higher because he knew at another agency that it was possible to hold the bar that high. So we ourselves had met an actual ceiling with our views. I think that's what Ryan made the great point of bringing someone from the outside. They have a fresh perspective. In our case, it was a fresh perspective of expecting more. And we ended up like the goals that he set out, we actually reached. It took some time for everyone to get to know him, to build the relationship with him, to get to trust him. But we ended up meeting those goals and pushing the company forward because we brought someone from the outside that knew a agency could do more, which was great.
Yeah, and likewise, if you know you have good talent, sometimes leaves your workforce and goes to another place, but you don't know if that's a potential client. I know that a handful of our employees who have gone, to work for other jobs. Maybe they have a good relationship with a client. In this case, with us, it was a salesman going to work for a client, but. That relationship and bond, because it was left on very good terms, has not only enforced that client relationship with us as a company, but we've also got referrals off of that as well. So, while it's easy to look at an employee leaving as a negative thing, it can definitely be turned into a positive thing as well. It could generate more business in the future. So,
yes. With that, Brian, when we talk about candidates, you made the remark earlier about finding quality candidates. There's a book out there called Talent Magnet by Mark Miller. I reference it because it kind of talks about things with your posting and ideas you can have to kind of be a magnet per se for that top talent. And we've revamped our job postings to kind of go along with that because you have to attract individuals to your company. We call it, we need to win them with Wilbur. The company I work for is Wilbur. And that book really outlines that these top talent, what they're looking for is a better boss, a brighter future, and a bigger vision. And then it's a matter of, did our job posting reflect that? So we've kind of changed our job posting to go off of, we're looking for quality candidates as we are at a good staffing level. I think you are, when you say you don't have very many, you may have one opening, you may be at that same point too, but there's quality candidates and how do you attract them? So that's a great book recommendation to kind of help guide you on that.
Yeah, thank you for that recommendation. I speaking of the quality candidates, and actually to one of the discussion topics that we had here, there's a discussion questions about filtering and how do you, kind of weed through everything. I used to use, when I was having emails come in directly to our apply at our businessname.com, I would set up rules, and if they didn't have certain qualities, or if I stated a specific question for them to answer when they were replying, I would set up an automatic rule to filter those out, which made reviewing the resumes a lot easier. So. I would advise whatever tool people are using out there, whether it be Indeed or having things come into an email box or having a questionnaire form online when you post to your website, make sure that you set up those different qualifications. Otherwise, you're going to be bombarded with quite a few resumes to look through.
Excellent. Well, there have been a couple of questions that have come in during the discussion, and I want to start to get some of those to make sure we've got time, but also to spur anybody else that has a question to put it into the Zoom webinar control panel now so we can get to it before the end of the webinar because we're about three quarters of the way through here. One question that came in, do you do any pre-employment testing for collector positions? Does anyone want to tackle that one?
So it depends on the position. Our government collections positions, we do pre-employment testing. Make sure that they're a fit for the job, they have the skills to do the job, and they have the ability to learn how to do the job. For the more entry-level positions, we're really looking for people that have customer service experience. We have a very good and comprehensive training program that will get them trained to learn how to collect. So on those, we don't do the pre-employment testing. We're just looking for people that are customer service oriented. But for the government positions, we do pre-employment tests.
I know for us, for most of our positions, we don't necessarily have questionnaires for pre-screening per se. We use a lot of our interview questions along with how we post jobs to screen everything. What we do after they're hired on directly, especially for the collector positions, they have to go through qualification testing for ACA, get certified, and they shadow and get certified and tested within the first week. If they don't make that, then usually we won't hang on to those individuals. We don't allow anybody to get on the phone unless they meet certain qualifications and go through our training program, which is pretty rigorous in the first couple weeks.
Yeah, we have the assessments. Ryan, when he spoke about his assessments, really once he's brought them in, kind of seeing can they get their feet under them. Our assessments, similar to what Barb said, dealing with customer service. There's also one out there that screens for collections mentality. Some of the individuals that are applying may not have any collection experience. And so it's a really great assessment that kind of lets us know that they do have a good disposition for the collections position. That assessment, we actually vetted out. We hired 6 individuals who did not have any collection experience, 3 that had a high score on the collections mentality section, and 3 that did not. And whether it was luck, but we kind of feel it was the actual assessment. The 3 that scored well on that were the ones that ended up making it through. And those other 3 that had low collections mentality scores, they were the ones that did not make it out of our training program. So we do assessments for our collections positions, but not so much for our admin roles.
Excellent. A question came in. What is the typical turnover rate for your dialing positions?
So our turnover is somewhere between 10 to 12%, I would say, average. Depending on the department, it could be higher or lower, but I would say overall, somewhere between 10 to 12.
Yeah, that's what we have also.
I would say out of, the candidates that we hired, if I went back and surveyed the last 2 to 3 years, I would say ours is probably a little bit higher. We're probably in the 20% range, so 2 out of every 10 candidates don't make it. But I think that could be refined by some of our screen process. I mean, with that said, we have about an average tenure, still about 10 years. So once people qualify and they make it to a mid or senior level, they tend to stay around. So.
Excellent. Another question. Has anybody used nearshore companies to fill call center collector positions? And if so, has it been successful?
I am not familiar with that, but I'm very curious to do some research and see what it is.
We have not. We've had, if it's what I'm thinking of when he says nearshore companies, as far as if my understanding is correct, it is having a call center in a different region or country that takes calls.
Correct.
For
you. That's what I think it means.
Yes. Yeah. Now we have not, but I can say that we have had a couple companies approach us, and we have spoken with them. We had some concerns as far as being able to monitor them properly. It's similar to having remote employees monitor them, but also dealing with our office's culture. We have a certain culture and a certain environment that we try to create. We call ourselves a community. And if we have individuals who are in a different region, then we may not be able to recreate that culture. So that was our concern, but we have entertained the idea.
I know for us, it's really not even conceivable. Being a smaller agency, we put emphasis on making sure that we have a strong client care, and that we do the same thing with our collectors or county executives or legal positions, whatever we need. Even if we were a larger based company, I don't know if I would necessarily entertain that based on our business strategy. So.
Okay, excellent. Appreciate the input. You know, there are reports everywhere about the unemployment rate being, you know, the lowest in a generation or the lowest in forever. But, you know, Ryan, you're saying you got 103 applicants the last time you posted a job. So I'm curious, and you said the quality was still pretty good. So I'm guessing, you know, despite the low unemployment rate, it's not that hard to fill positions right now, or do you find it harder than it's been in years past?
Well, I believe it's not a one-size-fits-all. I remember back in 2011, 2012, you know, when I first started just kicking the ball with hiring, I started using Craigslist. And if anybody has ever used Craigslist to hire before, you get a lot of people. But, man, you have got to cut out some time to make sure you go through resumes because you get a lot of stuff to filter through. With that said, our, you know, processes that we go through where, you know, when we're hiring, we tend to find that Indeed has worked pretty well for us. I think it depends on the type of position. It depends on the pool that you're pulling from, given the fact that we're near Portland, Oregon. We have a good pool of talent, but then I run against large companies that are offering benefits packages and pay that is very high. I think it also depends on the type of generations that you're hiring. And you should, I encourage everybody to take a look at their local areas and see what those numbers are, what, you know, size of cities you have nearby, what is the average age of those people, what is the average education level. That would dictate kind of how you can curtail your job posts and what type of quality candidates you'll be getting. So.
Excellent, thanks. Courtney, Barbara, any changes that you've noticed in terms of it's easier or harder to find, you know, qualified candidates today versus say, you know, 6 months from 6 months ago or a year ago?
Yeah. I would say that it is a bit more difficult. So what we have done is rather than having our ads all about what the position entails, which it still does talk about the position, we've added a little bit more about our company culture, the pay and incentives, the bonus opportunities. We're just trying to put, you know, all the positives out there to try to get applicants interested in the position. And that has been successful for us with this tight market and low unemployment. So we've done well with that.
Yes, we did something similar to Barb dealing with as far as changing our posting. I talked about that Talent Magnet book by Mark Miller. And in that book, it kind of references how to, but there's also in there, it says like what avenues or what markets are you going to be able to attract your candidates from. And in our posting, we actually started a like hashtag. So we have hashtag Wilbur Cares. And so when our office has an event where we're going out into the community, whether it be Habitat for Humanity or making other volunteer opportunities, we are on Instagram kind of posting about what we're doing. So when individuals go to our posting, they're going to see what the position is. They're going to see how we're trying to win them with Wilbur and show them the positive that our office has, but we're also trying to be on the markets that they are in too. And as far as like they can jump on Instagram, check it out, and they can actually start following it. They can see the things that our company is doing. So that's another tactic that our office has been using, thinking about how else can we attract individuals. Well, we need to be in the venues that they are.
Very interesting. So you're putting the hashtag in the job ad?
Correct. Yeah. So it's at the end. So we have our like collections representative. Yeah, our collections representative, and then it has hashtag Wilbur Cares. And then people are curious, and they're actually going there. We've seen since we've put these up that we've had a lot more followers. It was actually one of our collectors that started this previously because they were going to the events and they wanted to share the pictures. And so they were the ones actually started that, and we just kind of picked up on it now so we can show people as far as what we're doing in the community. And these individuals are actually starting to follow us. And it's awesome to see because they're in those venues. They're on Instagram. They're on Facebook. And how what better way to attract them by us being in those venues too.
Excellent. Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left. And what I'd like to do is, we got one more question before we start to wrap up. The question is related to the 10% turnover figure. Is that in self-pay or DA, or a combination of both?
Combination.
Love those short answers. Awesome. Excellent. Now, we've only got a couple of minutes left. What I'd like to do is go around the panel and give each of you a chance to share some parting words of wisdom, any key takeaways, a chance to summarize, you know, some of the things you've said today or offer any other sort of actionable advice on the topic that you want to share before we wrap up. So we'd like to get the chance for each of you to participate. Barb, maybe you wouldn't mind going first.
Sure. So I would say, like, if I had a piece of advice in this market and in our industry, our biggest ratio of applicants to hired is going to be employee referrals, and that's at 34%. So, you know, you need promote your company culture, engage your employees, make sure your employees are happy. And if they're not happy, find out, you know, what can be done to get them happy, because it's the cheapest way to recruit is having employees tell their friends and family about that, getting them in the door. They're just a vital part of our sourcing. And in my opinion, I can't stress enough how important it is to have our employees engaged in our sourcing process. So I think that is our best tool that we use.
Awesome. So that's 34%. Sorry, just one second. Right. Sorry. I apologize for interrupting. 34% of your employee referrals are hired. Is that what that number represents?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. Ryan, go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, that's okay. I'd like to add to that as well as using your employees is a great thing. For smaller agencies like us, we don't have as big of a staff. So our pool is smaller, obviously. But I would encourage people to use your outside network as well. You know, your clients, your people you run into if you go out and solicit a business or go to events. Partner up and talk to people about this. There's a lot of people out there that are trying to find good quality candidates, and sometimes they might be able to refer and screen candidates for you, and you vice versa, likewise for them. And I've actually found some great people that I've interviewed through referrals externally through my network, whether it be one of the educational resources or a client or just someone I've met at the general business community.
Yes, we
excellent.
Have.
Great tip.
I think it's great having referrals and being good gatekeepers, but also a tip I would give is be conscious of the experience that your candidates are having. What type of engagement are they having? Are they waiting days for an actual follow-up? What kind of tone does your letters, as far as if they're sending out, following up for interviews? But I think that would be one tip that I would give is think of the candidates coming through and what type of experience your company is giving to them, whether they make it through or whether they do not.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with that.
I agree. I, you know, in these recent hires that I've been doing, I've been making it more of a push when resumes are submitted, trying to call them back within 24 to 48 hours. It's sometimes hard to vet those, but I have found a great first impression when you call them within a day or two of them submitting a resume and they're thrown back a little bit, like, wow, you actually looked at it and reviewed it and are wanting to talk to me. And it's a great way to kind of get your first impression set high. So And then obviously keeping up with the communication, given the fact that we're a collection agency, that's something that we value. So that's something we should put up front, which I always try to do with the individuals I speak to. So call them as quick as reasonably you can. Make sure that you follow up with them and communicate well through the process of hiring. Because even if you don't hire them, you want them to have at least a good, reasonable experience in your company.
Excellent. Appreciate the tip and the insight. Before I let everybody go, I want to thank Barb, Ryan, and Courtney for their insights and their time today. Really appreciate the quantity and quality of information they shared. This webinar would definitely not have been possible without their participation. I also want to thank Chris Rickman and Peak Revenue Learning for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.peakrevenuelearning.com to learn more about the company. Thanks to everybody who participated and asked questions. I appreciate that. Please stay tuned to accountsrecovery.net for more news and webinars in the very near future. A recording of this event will be posted to the site in the next few days for anybody who wants to access it. Thanks a lot, and I hope everybody enjoys the rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.